Welcome to the Bookworthy Podcast. I'm children's author Valerie Fentress, and we are here to talk about KidLit that's good for your kids' hearts and souls. KidLit ranges from ages birth to teens, so there is a lot of shelf space to cover. Today, we're talking with author and illustrator team Liz and Jack Hagler about their graphic novel series, Patrick Wigglesworth's Bizarre Bible Adventures. Welcome to Bookworthy, Liz and Jack.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Very excited.
So glad to have you here. And as a mom of three boys, I feel you guys have stepped into a very needed space in the Christian fiction, book realm, with Patrick and his bizarre adventures. But we have to answer one question first.
Okay.
Do you prefer the mountains or the beach?
We like the mountains
and the beach.
Yeah.
We're by both, kind of.
We have a place up near Lake Tahoe. So that's one of our favorite spaces for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Very neat. I know in California, you kind of get the best of both worlds, mountains on one side and beach on the other. But
15 miles from the beach. So,
yeah. We do like both.
Well, like I said, you guys have created a, almost the Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Man for the Christian market. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you to write a graphic novel for Christian audiences?
So we worked with Child Evangelism Fellowship. I don't know if you've heard about that. It's in the school system. And we were watching all the kids with those books, just eating them up. And
which books?
The Diary of a Wimpy Kid and all of
Dog Man
and all of that. And so I had already been involved in illustrating and children's books. And we had already written another book, kind of which helps an overview of the Bible. And we thought, how can we bridge take that into making it something that would be more like the Wimpy Kid kind of version, so that the kids can laugh. We wanted them to laugh. And so it was a long process, very messy process of trying to figure out how to do it, back and forth, and trying this and that didn't work, and getting feedback. And because of the way we wanted to incorporate him going through the whole Bible, which we had done in our other books, we were able to pull those images in that we had used before, some of the storytelling. And it was mostly to reach those kids that have a harder time reading or want to laugh or to be in that genre.
I love that. I always say that, as a boy mom, that food is the way to my kid's heart and laughter is the way to their soul.
So, there you go. I like that. That's great.
Yeah.
Because if I can get my kids laughing about something that has to do with God and the Bible, then I know it's going to really connect with their heart also. So I love what you guys have done. Now, book one, Patrick gets to have Moses being his tour guide through the first five books of the Bible. And then in book two, we get Joshua to walk with Patrick. Now, who gets to be the tour guide in book three, which comes out in April?
So we have Daniel. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We were working on four and five now. So I think it's Daniel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daniel. David is a part too, right?
Yeah, yes, David.
David too. Yeah, I think they're both. We're working so many projects at different times. I'm like on five now, and then we're reworking four. And so it's hard to remember.
I know the timelines for books are so hard to understand that, a book coming to the shelf has been worked on almost 2 years ago. And so it's hard to get your timelines right with all of it, I'm sure. But I love that Patrick Wigglesworth is a very 11-year-old kid. And I love how you guys personify him, because when my kids have read the first book, they were like, how do they know how I talk and speak? It's like, how did you guys personify an 11-year-old so well in your books?
Liz is the...
I'm 11-year-old. No.
I was about to ask, who's the 11-year-old?
I'm the crazy one that does the crazy outline stuff. And then he's like the logical one. So we go back and forth, and he brings a lot of the boy elements in too, And it's really a collaboration of ideas. But I'm definitely the 11-year-old boy that's crazy, that's asking questions and pushing boundaries.
That's exactly what 11-year-olds are doing.
Yeah.
So fun. What was it like working together on this book?
Well, it's really fun. We enjoy it. The beauty of this is that for a lot of the book, when I retired from my previous work, we were able to really focus together on that. Liz is, like she said, she's the crazy one who has all the crazy ideas and so forth. My background is engineering and so forth. So my part is kind of bring that together into, you know, a format that makes even more sense. So we're back and forth and back and forth.
Even scheduling, because I was like, oh, these are my dreams. And he's like, okay, now you have to work this many hours a day to get there. Yeah. So, and these many drawings have to be done. And okay, so just the whole process, it takes the two energy.
And it's hard. At times it's hard because we don't see the same way. So we have to back and forth and back and forth and walk around a little bit and then come back together. Yeah. And because we want to find, you know, the right image or the right words or phrases that really fit what we're trying to convey. And that's not easy. A lot of times it's hard.
We throw it out to our kids too. Like we get stuck sometimes and our kids are older, but they have kids now. So basically we'll throw it out to them. What do you think? And they're like, no. And then we'll like reboot. So we have a whole community working on this from the standpoint of just learning how to make him come alive. You're trying to figure out how to make a character come alive.
Very true. I love the dynamic between the two of you. It reminds me of me and my husband a little bit. We make the joke that I like to throw sprinkles and like, hey, let's do all the fun things. And my husband's like, let's sweep up the sprinkles.
Exactly.
So that's so fun. Now, Liz, you kind of say you're the 11-year-old. Are you what really brings the humor to these stories?
Yes, I am definitely the humor one. But Jack has a different kind of humor because there's different kinds of humor. But we work on, because of the way we work, we'll write and then we think of images and then we crop out the writing because we put it in the image. So there's a lot of back and forth and because of the way the words don't always have to be there with the drawing. So it's not a very clean writing process. It's not a very clean process.
Well, and oftentimes, you know, Liz will put something together and we'll work on it.
Yeah.
And then we'll go, well, that's really not that funny, you know, and then, but you just keep playing with it and playing with it. And then all of a sudden, one or the other of us will say, well, what about X?
And then
we'll look at each other and we'll go, oh, that's clever or that's funny or that's, you know, whatever it is, you know, and that's usually most of the time that's 5 and 6 edits down the road, you know, from the original.
It's all editing. There's no writing.
What is it? It's always good to get the writing out, to get something on paper. So, because editing is where it actually the magic happens, right?
Right. That's exactly right.
Too fun. Now, is any of the characters patterned after people and situations that you have encountered in your own life?
Well, not really. But we had to think when we built a world, you have to kind of remember the people that you build. So it helped for us to just think through like the grandmother in Sacramento, my mom's in Sacramento, the grandparents in Marin, his parents were in Marin. They're not now, but basically we used some of the base camps to get, and my dad was an ophthalmologist. And so that came from there. But as far as the people, no, not really.
Well, there's combinations like we were talking. The Patrick is sort of a little bit of a combination of Liz and our son.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
Elements of
our son is out of the box and loves to go for life. So yeah, Patrick's like that.
Yeah,
you know, in some ways, Patrick's really reflections a lot. I mean, there's a lot of childhood we have to just get with the program, and so he's having to just get with the program, but having to adjust his attitude. So a lot of life I remember as a child, just like, oh gosh, why do I have to do that? Like 95% of my childhood, you know, you just have to get with the program. So he's venting his frustrations of, you know, and then trying to be creative problem solving in that process. So we wanted him to be proactive, but also very real with his emotions and, you know, angry at people and having a bully in his life and, you know, frustrated. And so, yeah, we were Yeah, just trying to.
Well, obviously, you know, based on what you said with your sons too, is we wanted kids to be able to really connect and go, "Oh, I can see my story in Patrick's story."
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it's real.
Yeah,
I think that you guys have done a great job with that, and with Patrick being able to be relatable to so many different kids. You know, with his group of friends, they have their interests and their things they like to do, and then the bully character that plays a very big part in Patrick's journey also. Now, there is one little element of Patrick that made me laugh a lot, was that he's a sleepwalker.
Oh, yeah.
Now, were any of your kids sleepwalkers?
Night terrors. We had night terrors.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I actually did some. I actually did some sleepwalking when I was a kid. Not to the degree that Patrick does.
Oh, too, come to think of it, at a camp, I did end up going outside one time, and they're like, "Where are you going?" I don't know. So it would be a common childhood experience. Yeah.
We thought of that when. Yeah. I'm not sure how we came up with that.
Actually. Yeah.
Getting some new discoveries even today, right? Too fun. Now, where did the name Patrick Wigglesworth come from? Because it's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah.
So Patrick, I called my eldest daughter and I said, "I need a good name." And she came up with Patrick. And then Wigglesworth, we decided to use some famous evangelist.
Smith Wigglesworth was an English evangelist.
Yeah.
You know, 100 years ago. Previously a plumber, actually, but became a very famous evangelist. And we love the name.
Yeah, we love the name. It was a fun name. We mostly did it for fun. It's a very unusual, fun name. And then we used some names like a Derek Newton. We used some other evangelist names in the beginning just to throw them in there.
Yeah, there's a few other historical Christian character last names. Yeah. As you read through the series, we've thrown some in there.
We just had fun.
That's fun to have little nuggets to search for and to know that even though you said the original Wigglesworth was not an ophthalmologist, but a plumber. Some little fun things for people to continue to dig through and to be able to read it multiple times and discover new things about them. So that's amazing. Now, when did you guys first decide to become writers and illustrators here?
This is always me talking, but it is my dream. It's my dream. So as a child, I was writing and drawing ever since I was little, making little books. And in college, I was an art and English major trying to figure out how to do this. And so it's been forever just working on these projects and trying to figure out how to do it, going to conferences, Mount Hermon's Writers Conference.
Well, then you'd illustrate. Yeah.
And then I illustrated what was the first one I illustrated? The Bible Animal Storybook. Bible Animal Storybook. And then the Early Reader's Bible, the first edition, I illustrated all that. But then I realized I couldn't do the deadlines. They were always at Christmas time. I couldn't do the deadlines raising kids. And so I put it on
hold. We were homeschooling.
We homeschooled for 10 years. And then Jack was a pastor, and I worked in the children's ministry department. And I realized, gosh, I don't even know my Bible. And I thought there needs to be a way to have the flow of the story so the kids understand that it's one big story. And that's when I first started just kind of working on the side, you know, and that produced our other book. We would, you know, work on that. And then that produced our other book. What's it called? Hooked on the Book.
Patrick's Adventures.
I can't remember all these books. So.
We have a long time.
Yeah, we've been working on a long time. And then after that book, that's when we were doing Child Evangelism Fellowship. And we were like, how do we take what we've already done? Because I know God always builds on what your skills are. He doesn't ever dump them. So for us, it was a matter of how do we take what we built? And then when we saw all the Wimpy Kid stuff, we thought, gosh, maybe that we could put these together. So it was a building process through the years. And then Jack has a little bit of a story.
Well, when I...
Well, a big story, but...
Well, part of our story. When I went to seminaries, I was in my 20s. I was a fairly young believer when I went to seminary. My very first Bible survey course, I was taking the class and the teacher was teaching it all. And I just kind of sat there. I was that classic student who sat there with his mouth open going, oh my goodness, I didn't know any of this. I didn't understand this big story. And all of a sudden it began to come together. And I had thought to myself, well, I really want, if I'm having this experience, how can I help other people have the same experience? Now, at the time, I didn't know that that was really going to be focused on children. That really worked, you know, through Liz, obviously having our own kids. But that experience has stayed with me, you know, for my whole life. And so that's a big part of my desire to be able to, you know, to put something like this together and work with Liz on.
I love that because what is it? The Bible itself is such a big book, and there's so many stories in there that while kids, if they have the opportunity to go to church on Sundays, they do get little pieces here and there, but there's so much that's missed too. And to develop kids to have a love of reading the Bible is a challenge,
right?
Because it seems so big and heady and not fun. But there's so many amazing stories in it.
Knowing the context of the stories within, like, the book of the Bible, for example, you know, oftentimes Bible storybooks and so forth, you get a story here and there, but you don't really understand the context. Where does this fit into the flow of Scripture and God's bigger story? And so that's part of what we wanted to do, is to put that together.
And the reason we included the Bible verses under each story is the goal would be, gosh, maybe a family wouldn't be intimidated just sitting down as a family and reading this together and looking up the verses and using that like around a dinner table or whatever. And then they talk about the real stories. And then, you know, this is going to go through the whole Bible. And we don't cover everything, but at least you can get a framework for how this flows through the Bible. One of the other things is we were talking about with as we build on it is we wanted Patrick, because he's got the God story concept, that we have our own unique God stories that God's working in our life. And just like the nation of Israel, remembering those stories is so important because that's how we can build our faith and tell the next generation. I have a friend who said, we're only, you know, as fresh in our relationship with God as the God stories we're having in our life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, that's really true. And sometimes I don't see God working, but then he or somebody in our community is sharing, oh my gosh, God did this incredible thing. And then we're like, wow, we come alive again. Yes. So it's a whole different lens on how you see the world. And So, I mean, this is just a little piece. It's such a multi-level thing, but hopefully you can get kids laughing and they can start asking questions. That's the real goal.
That's an amazing goal, just to make the Bible more tangible and approachable. And I love that you do have those verses peppered throughout the book of where the stories that the person's being led through or Patrick's being led through actually come from, because you can, you know, for kids, it can be like, oh, sure, this is just another story. This is Jack and the Beanstalk. This is Little Red Riding Hood. It's like, no, this is actually God's word. This is what happened. Right. And so it's neat that it provides that opportunity to dig a little deeper if they're kind of on the older side of the range of their book and such. And so that's one of the reasons I'm so excited about this whole series is that it just has such a great opportunity for kids that struggle reading, as well as people that might be new to the Bible and to not feel very overwhelmed by just how big the Bible is. And, you know, there's definitely some parts in the Bible where you're like, okay, Leviticus, we're going to keep going here for a while, but I love the heart and the goal of these books. Now, book 3 is set to come out in April, and you said you're working on some more. How many do you suspect there to be in this series?
Well, we don't know. We're still in process. We're working by faith the last two books. So there would be 5 total in this.
4 and 5 go through the New Testament.
So we're working on that, which is really tricky. That was really tricky, trying to, you know, Jesus is, you know, the love of our life, and trying to, you know, bring that whole thing together. And so we have some really exciting things we're doing and trying to make the whole thing come together I'm not going to spoil it, but
through Patrick's adventures, right?
There would be 5 in the series that take you from, you know, Genesis through.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I can't wait. Now, what are some of your favorite children's books?
Well, I think one of my favorite authors has always been C.S. Lewis, for a variety of reasons, obviously. But, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia, obviously, the space trilogy, those have always been, you know, huge. And then, but then, as we mentioned before, you know, like the 13-story treehouse.
Yeah, we love that series. We study this genre a lot. I love that series, the 13-story treehouse. Yeah,
but when you're a kid, like Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss. And I love Mrs. Piggle Wiggle. I mean, I love all these, like, bizarre things. I mean, we love the Oz series. I loved all that. I had the classic Oz books my mom had had for years, her mom had. So just that kind of, for me, it was fantasy. I love the fantasy.
And of course, the zany
Zany fantasy stuff. That's what I love.
Too funny. You mentioned what the 13-story treehouse, and when I was reading through the book, that's one of the ones that I thought of, and I'm like, yeah, this is just like.
Yeah, that 13. Was one that really impacted us. It's so fun, so clever, and for me, I was like, wow, these guys really are fun, and the drawings are fun too. So. Yeah.
Now, Liz, as an illustrator, how do you get inspiration for the characters that you draw?
Well, there's, you make a decision at the beginning what a character is going to look like, and you have to build this world, and then you have to be consistent. And that's one of the hardest things, honestly, as you're an author. It's hard to stay when you want to like, oh, well, I'll change this. But no, when you make decisions, you have to figure out who they are and be consistent to those characters. So, and that's the same as drawing. You make decisions about who they are and that's, you just keep working at it and you have to make decisions. I mean, we're thinking through Paul now, and I thought, well, maybe he'd have a headband. And Jack's like, no, he's bald. So I've got to redraw.
Well, I mean,
you know, maybe he was bald.
We don't know that.
But trying to make decisions that you stay with for the long haul.
Right.
And a lot of it is just there's no emotion. You just work at it day in and day out.
Well, we want it to be fun. I mean, obviously fun. And, you know, I mean, all these kind of things that kids, we know that kids would just.
Well, once you make a decision too of how the drawing's going to go, then it's mechanical, putting the pieces in place for me. It's more like put them in place. Did I get it? Did it match? And then redraw if it didn't match. So.
Although we always have a fun, Liz and I talk about the drawings, usually the morning she's going to draw the next four pages. So we'll go over it together. And that's really good. But then either later that day, the next morning when I come back,
and he's looking at
and I look and I go, well, I'm not sure I really like
that
this.
That makes me crazy.
And then, so Liz and I have to, you know, kind of go, all right, got to work my way through.
Before I was drawing them all, and then he would come in, no, that wasn't what I really thought. That doesn't seem. So then we would be like, well, you need to be more involved. So we need to think it through before I actually put the energy in drawing, because even though you have an idea how you draw, it doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. And it is so much communication in drawing and every line you put in. Mm-hmm. People, that's the thing, is you have limited lines and you don't have color. You don't have all these other things that can distract the eye. So you're making a lot of decisions. But the grace of God is alive and well, right? We just keep
Well, it's great that you not only have the help of your spouse, but also, you know, God is definitely directing you guys through this whole process. And that's been seems like it's been a lot of fun for you guys, as well as it's
Can
fun for kids to read too.
Kendale has been an awesome team. They have been really great. Our editor, she has such great insight. And our art director, such great insight. They have been a fantastic team for us, adding that flavor in there. So
way fun. We always forget about all the people that are helping through the process, because it's, you know, being an author and I'm sure being an illustrator on top of that, it's not all you, thankfully. And
right.
So fun. Well, what can we expect next from you guys?
Hopefully book 4 and 5.
Yeah, 4 and 5. That's really our focus at this point, because they take a long time to put together.
So
wow.
Yeah. So we talk about things beyond that, but then we go, you know what? We got to just stay focused.
Yeah. The
get
project
this done.
Managers.
Got to sweep up the sprinkles. Sweep up the sprinkles. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So fun. Well, where can people find out more about you and your books?
So we have an Instagram, Patrick Wigglesworth World. I know that's a mouthful. And then we have patrickwigglesworth.com. So it's the, you know, we have that that address that they can go to. Also, both Liz and I have Facebook, Liz Hagler and Jack Hagler Facebook. And on those Facebook, we tend to focus those on the books, you know, what's going on and new things and so forth. So those are probably the best place to find us.
Yeah. Well, we will have to look for you in all those places for sure. Well, thank you, Liz and Jack, for joining us today.
Thank you, it's been so fun.
It's been great.
And thank you for joining Liz, Jack, and me on this episode of the Bookworthy Podcast. Check out the show notes for any books or links that we discussed. Then let us know in the comments if you're a beach or a mountain person. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button to help us discover more great books together. Happy reading.
Bye.
Yay.
Oh, good.
I think it's stopping. It's supposed to be stopping.
Okay.
Yeah, so leave everything open.
All right, we will.
Hopefully we'll get it to talk to us. But yes, you can use the microwave. Sorry, my husband's like, I'm hungry. Can I eat now?